This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
You took a trip and fell on your ass. You represented the dirt on my behalf. With mud and blood on the side of your chin, you just looked up past me to justify what I did. No explanation for you. Rearrange what I knew. Finally, I figured out the chain of command on the ground. I took a shot that this rain had to end. I even tried resurrecting one of your friends. And though from that moment on, it was clear what I knew. I hated me, so what else was I for to do? But it's time to hate you. Like a rose above the planet. Then I thought about it wrong. Affected the choice path that followed and the trudge of my youth. Now the only one bleeding is you. Yeah, I remember the truth, and I never sought for proof. Just a little confirmation. Hey, I thought about it wrong.
laying right at my door. Well, I wish you could stay. Where's your girlfriend? How's that going?
Yeah.
The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast and 11 a.m. on the West Coast, and a couple of blocks down is the hottest blowjobs you'll ever see in the Montrose.
Oh.
But it's 1 a.m. here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, so it's time for After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one, and I am so glad to be queer.
I was expecting more of a reaction out of you when talking about the hottest blowjobs ever.
I was going to slip over that, but...
It was at Mary's.
Oh!
Naturally.
Naturally. The Bears were having their anniversary,
yes,
right?
Yes, they had their 12th anniversary, and they had some fire manipulators.
What does that mean?
They twirled fire around.
Baton things?
And spit fire. And they had the long stick with the fire on both ends. They were spitting out fire flames. They had,
oh my.
Had little cauldrons on sticks. They were on strings that they were swinging around.
Mm.
So it was like...
Wow, Mary's hasn't been that hot in years.
It was impressive, their
really?
Blowing capabilities.
Oh.
On the back patio.
Hmm.
And then when I left...
Well, there's always been lots of great blowing activities on the back patio of Mary's.
And they moved it to the back bar after midnight.
Hmm.
Yeah. I forget who it was. Or someone there was going to get their picture taken while they were going to stay real close to the fire spewer.
Hmm.
And... I guess he was too close, and when he spewed, some hit him, and the shriek you heard on there, it was just... But no, they had fire manipulators, and mm-hmm. The theme was carnival.
Yes.
So they had the bearded lady sang.
Ooh. Who was the bearded lady?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I'm not good with drag names.
Was it Lloyd?
Daddy Lloyd? No.
Never mind. Was it Ginger?
Sue?
Sue?
Hold on. Go ahead and just say it.
Sewage debris.
Alton.
Sewage
debris. Alton does that, huh?
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's one of the few drag queens that know the real name better than I know the drag. That was the bearded lady, and there was little popcorn, cotton candy, and, oh, God, the snow cones.
Speaking of not knowing drag queens, my God, Craven Moorhead Knightley was at Mary's Wednesday night, and I was there for an hour before I realized who it was. I'd never seen him out of drag.
In the drab?
In the drab, yes.
So,
speaking of music...
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, we do. Because it's new music this week. And
it doesn't smell new.
These artists sent me their music, and unsolicited, I might add. So I'm really happy to play it. And I haven't been able to listen to both CDs all the way through, so we'll possibly have different cuts for you in the future. But we started that out with
Patrick Booth.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love it when I have a photo that, you know, goes like this.
Yeah. Only it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah.
He is a cutie, isn't he?
Yeah. I call it boy bandish, you know. Mm. I'll hit the mute button and just stare for a couple of minutes.
And so that cut was called...
It doesn't say what cut. Oh, that cut. Too Far.
Mm-hmm. Off the CD called...
Finally, the View Has Changed.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next view includes shirtless.
Ooh.
We've got to hear this song. I, you know, when you have a title of a song called Kill Him and Tell God He Died,
I haven't listened to that one yet.
I say the hell with the FCC. Let's risk it.
Let's just play it.
Just, if you want to find out more about him, you can go to patrickbooth.net, and that's Booth with an E at the end.
Okay, and then we have the female artist by the name of...
Chris Purica.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Sad Rabbit Music. Gee, that's a surprise.
it's classic women's music.
Hold on, I bit my tongue.
Don't even go there.
And that song title was Swan Song.
No, it wasn't.
You told me to play number 4 on this one. And number 2 on this one.
Oh, did I?
Or did I get it backwards?
Perhaps.
I'm sorry. I did play these pages.
Okay.
I was getting... It's those damn snow cones.
Yes, I'm sure.
I should have had the Mexican rather than cherry ones.
Mm-hmm. These
but
pages.
I had a feeling it would have been more than the $3 I paid for them.
quite possibly. And that same name of that CD is?
Dryland.
Mm-hmm.
The promo copy. And for more information on that, you can check out chrispurica.com. That's Pure K-A.
P-U-R-E-K-A, yes. So, and don't forget, every fourth Monday of the month, tune in to Queer Voices to hear J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. It's played at the last hour of the show. And you will hear music you've not heard before, and
you probably want to hear again.
You will be wanting more, and you can always do that by going to queermusicheritage.org, JD's website, because he always has more on the website than he gets time to play on the air.
Well, that and the fact, you know, there's 7 words he can't say, and, you know, we can say 6 of them on ours.
There you go.
Especially if Jimmy's not here.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well,
oh boy.
I wonder what music I'll be playing next week then.
Speaking of Hot and Bothered, you noticed I got a hug tonight when they were leaving.
Because I warned him, I told him that, you know, his pornography show he's doing next week, he won't have to worry about you interfering.
Why not? I love all pornography.
Yes, but you'll be frolicking in the woods.
Oh, that's right.
Scaring the imps and
that's
nymphs
right.
And
that's right. I'll have to listen to it online. I have to go, have to listen to it.
I took too big of a gulp. I couldn't fit it all in my mouth.
Well, that's a first.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do some community stuff because
before we kill our embarrassed.
That's right. We have our after hours quickie tonight is an evening with the Royal.
We'll put an E at the end so it's more fancy.
Royale. No, that denotes a prince or princess. We're talking emperor here, so no, can't use Royale.
Oh, well.
I'm
I'm not in all that stuff.
It's protocol, honey. You don't have to know that. Anyway, from the Louis Weekend Calendar, Houston area Bears, hairy backs, hairy legs, and hairy asses. Sunday, September the 17th, 7:45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Yeah, right. Southern Comfort will be hosting a fundraiser for... Now, listen closely to this, because it gets convoluted. Southern Comfort will be hosting a fundraiser for Houston area Bears benefiting Hatch.
Uh-huh.
Reserve tables are $75 or more. For more information, contact... forget it.
I can explain that for you, Lucy.
Okay, Southern Comfort will be hosting a fundraiser for the Houston area Bears benefiting Hatch.
Yeah, the Houston area Bears each year picks a charity that they raise funds for.
Oh.
And the official charity of the Bears this year is Hatch.
Oh, okay, I did not know that.
So Southern Comfort is doing a benefit show during their fundraiser. And it's benefiting the HAB.
Oh, okay.
Charity.
Southern Comfort is the Country Cloggers.
Yes.
Yes. And they're really good.
Yeah,
we had
them out at Convergence. They taught a quick little line dance to about 30 or 40 guys.
Whoa.
Must be had out on that dance floor that weekend.
I'm surprised that that many guys wanted to learn.
It was surprising. And
Because you're talking about the big men's club.
Well, and other big men and so forth. And there were some big guys out there hoofing it, so to speak.
Good. So to speak, yes. Well, and don't forget, Spooked on Classics. I know we're coming at you a little bit early on this, but it's the Houston Pride Band. And we want to get the word out there because not enough folks take the time to come and see the Houston Pride Band. And they are really good. Really, really good. It's on Thursday, October the 19th. It's called Spooked on Classics. Tricks, Treats, Ghosts, and Goblins, a great program of music that makes Halloween such an exciting time of the year. On the program are classics such as Danse Macabre, as well as seasonal favorites like music from Psycho and Harry Potter. Tickets are $10. Time is 7:30. And
I don't know what what's scary about Harry Potter.
That's so really bizarre because, you know, this whole thing, and they don't tell you where it is. Wow.
Knowing the Pride... Well, apparently...
Yeah.
Is that another set of eyes to look at? I've got a feeling knowing where the Pride Band usually holds things.
Well, they usually held it at RMCC.
I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that's...
Yeah, they goofed.
Yeah.
That's, what's the scary stuff from Harry Potter?
In the 2000... No, it's like 2511 West 11th. Something like that.
I'm still trying to figure the scary
part. Just get on West 11th and turn left and just go until you hit the very 50s-looking church on your left-hand side, right over the bayou. It's real easy. And, you know, $10 a ticket, that's, you know, you pay that for a movie. So go out and support your community. What have you got?
I don't know. I was looking up where this event was.
Oh.
And their website... It's pretty, but it's blank.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Scheduler for... Oh, here we go. Spooked on Classics. It's the same ad.
It's the same ad, yes. We have to talk to those boys.
Lovely.
And girls. But you have a couple other things before we get the royal on tonight.
Yeah, I got to go back to the thing.
Well, go back to your thing.
Got to find the Pufflog stuff again.
Oh, yes. We do want to talk about that.
And my glasses.
The Houston Women's Festival is coming soon.
Yes.
When is it?
On Saturday, October 21st, returning to Jones Plaza.
Oh, good.
Texas musician Patricia Pike, fresh from her stint on the CBS television series Rockstar Supernova, has chosen the 12th annual Houston Women's Festival as the site of the official Houston CD release of her production Unraveling.
Wow.
The festival takes place on October 21st from 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. at Jones Plaza, located at 601 Louisiana. Street and Houston's Downtown Theater District.
We'll be bringing you more about that in weeks to come.
Other festival performers include Vanguard recording artist Garrison Starr, Deidre McCalla, Adrian and the Sickness, Echo Set, the Gin Sisters, or Gin Sisters.
Gin Sisters.
The Ginger Lay Band. Oh, sorry, my I was changing the last name on that.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
Erica Luckett. We play her, don't we?
Erica.
And Laurel. Houston comedian and columnist Nancy Ford MCs the event, which also offers vendor booths and refreshments, as well as independent artists exhibit lining the perimeter of Jones Plaza. Tickets are $15 at the door, $12 in advance, and are available at hwfestival.org. Children 10 to 18 and students with a current ID are $10 at the door. Children under 10 enter free. So once again, that's hwfestival.org.
Great.
I really ought to read these things first.
Why would you want to do that? Just read it.
This is an Austin.
I know. I just wanted to make a quick mention of it. Just don't read the whole thing. Just...
Oh, come on. I want to do a Roy. The 8th International Drag King Community Extravaganza, a Dyke 8. The registration is still available till September 30th. Visit idkeaustin.com. The event is October 19th through the 22nd in Austin, Texas. Featuring keynote speaker Leslie Feinberg, academic conference. Oh, you know her?
Yes.
Academic conference at the University of Texas, international showcase at the Palmer's Event Center, open mic drag night at Emo's, DJ Lynn T. from New York City, art show, film festival, spoken word, and more. IDKE is a four-day fest dedicated to the drag king culture and gender performance.
Right.
It's the largest non-competitive gathering of its kind, drawing kings, queens, and in-betweens from all over North America and overseas.
Great. Okay, I've just received word that Diane Rose is on her way. And that may be her pulling up right now. So why don't you do the P-Flag thing, and then we'll get with Evening with the Royals.
Okay. As he goes into the other room. P-Flag Houston October meeting is about the coming out process. On Sunday, October 1st, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 South Main at Binns. October 8th is Solidary Sunday, and October 11th is National Coming Out Day. In recognition of these dates, as dates of nationwide support for GLBT individuals and communities, Mike McGarra will present a program on the coming out process. Mike has presented programs on this process in the past, and will present this topic again as review for any new members or attendees whom this may be new information. He plans on bringing in some new areas of discussion, including a segment, Coming Out to God. I think he would know first.
One would think.
Yeah.
Is God gay?
Well, somebody had to come up with that amazing Technicolor dream coat. Do we need to pull out Romanowski and Phillips there? There is a God, he's a queen.
Yes, there you go.
The presentation will discuss the history of National Coming Out Day and Solidary Sunday. Solidary Sunday is an interfaith effort that congregations throughout the country are invited to participate in. For more information on PFLAG, call the PFLAG helpline at 713-46-PFLAG. For those who are better with numbers than letters, it's 713-467-3524. Or check them out on the World Wide Web at pflaghouston.org.
Okay, now it's time for An Evening with the Royals. And we have one with us this evening, and Apollo Emperor Mark Cohen.
How soon we forget, Jimmy.
You're not a wussy yet.
No.
No, you are still my emperor.
20-some-odd days and counting.
But. Yes.
And counting. Key words there,
and
yes.
And counting. So has it been a great year?
It has been a very great year. It's been extremely exciting. Probably more excitement than what I had anticipated. But hopefully we've done some good work. We've raised some money and awareness for different community organizations, and that's the gist of what we do.
I think we've
the organization has already raised more money than it's ever raised before.
Correct.
In rain, so that's good.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So what's on the agenda? Because I know this is the big deal coming up.
This is the big deal. We are kind of in the home stretch of this year's rain, and the next couple of weeks are just kind of packed to the gills with all sorts of things.
Sure.
And it finalizes on October the 7th with the enthronement, which will be at the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown, starting at 5 o'clock. It's a dinner, 5 hours open bar, wonderful entertainment.
5 hours.
5 hours
open bar.
All for a very reasonable price of $85.
That's
per
right.
person.
That's a sit-down dinner.
It's a sit-down dinner, three-course dinner, drinks, entertainment, and at the end of the evening, there will be a great dessert bar with all sorts of goodies.
Oh, and if it's anything like last year's,
it will be incredible.
Yes.
So if anyone is interested, you can email us for information at monarchs@spacecityempire.org.
Mm-hmm.
We can send you information. We can get you hooked up with tickets beforehand if you want to reserve your tickets for enthronement.
Or if you don't want to do that, you can stop by Mary's on next Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
The ICOH crew will be there because it's the weekly jukebox show.
Not only is it weekly jukebox, but this time of year we do Space Idol.
Yes.
Which is fun contest for individuals to be the next Space City Idol. And in doing so, the winner of that receives $500 as well as a performance at enthronement. So that's very exciting, and it's the same format of American Idol.
The thing about enthronement for ICOH is that the focus is on the entertainment, I think, more than other similar rituals that I've seen.
Right. Our format is a little bit different than most court systems where they do their final ball. Ours is focusing on entertainment. We want to allow the community that has been so generous and gracious to us throughout the entire year to kind of sit back, enjoy some incredible entertainment, and finalize our wonderful efforts this year for the Lazarus House and the Lexi Bowen Community Fund, who are the two beneficiaries that we have been raising money throughout the past 11 months.
The Lexi Bowen is sort of like the Cult 45s, the main difference being that it's emergency money for people who are not HIV positive.
Correct, which is a rarity within our community nowadays.
Yes.
There's not that much financial support for individuals within the GLBT community that are non-infected or the affected community rather than the infected.
So I think that's a really important fund to keep going.
And if you look at it, Lazarus House taps into the infected population, wellness center. So if you look at both of them collectively, we are really raising money and hopefully awareness across the board to anyone and everyone within our community.
Exactly. So, what do we have coming up this week?
What do we have? We actually start everything, 2 weeks from Friday on the 29th, and that's going to be Mission Accomplished, which is a show that will be over at EJ's at 8 o'clock, hosted by our elects, Apollo Emperor-elect Orlin Culliver and Gemini Empress-elect Ginger Vitus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts kind of rolling and snowballing from there. We have two very interesting things the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be out in the woods.
Yes, I'm going to the PWA camp.
You're
going to
be out
so
in the woods.
I'm so excited about this.
But if you were here,
yes,
you could join our Peasants Royale as they present Peasants Are Revolting, which is going to be a fun little show. It's a trash disco theme.
Yes.
And both of us, unfortunately, to admit, are old enough to remember when when disco was not trash.
Yes, that's right.
And that will be Friday the 22nd over at 1415 Bar and Grill over on California Street, starting at 8:30. And then the next evening, which is a much more important show because
although
that will
it raises much less money.
Well, we don't know about that. will be the Emperor Strikes Back show, which will be the reigning monarchs as well as the former monarchs get together and show the peasants how things are done. You have to understand that this is all a make-believe court, so it's kind of the rivalry of who can do what when.
It's a make-believe court, and the jewels are
all fake. They're, everything is make-believe, let me tell you.
With the exception
of our egos, but that's a whole different story. But that will be at 8:30 over at Mary's.
But that is kind of a yearly thing about the peasants trying to raise more money than the royals.
Exactly, and it's just kind of a fun little competition.
Yes, it is.
And here again, the bottom line is raising much-needed dollars for our community, and those dollars stay within our community.
Right.
And I think that's very important.
The Peasants Are Revolting Trash Disco Night is going to be presented by Peasants Royale Julie Hollingsworth and Randy Hatcher.
Correct.
Two people who have really, really come up through the ranks and really shown this year.
They have busted their peasants over this.
Yes, they have.
And I'm sure other things as well.
So this is going to be a really, really fun show.
It will. And then from October 1st, actually through the 8th, that entire week
is packed every night.
Every evening and every day with different things. And it will start off on Sunday the 1st at 3 o'clock over at 1450 for our awards banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you will be there.
Yes, I will.
And that is a time that Chanel Cartier, who is my empress for this year, and I will be recognizing several people, not only within our membership as well as through the community, with some very wonderful awards and recognitions. And then it goes into Wednesday the 4th for a roast and toast over at Michael's Outpost. And then the shows will begin then.
Oh, yes.
Starting Thursday, which is what we call the Members of the Universe. This is our in-town show for our court members, as well as a wonderful party by our dear friends from Salem, Oregon, who will be in town, the Salem party, and that will be at Mary's at 8:30. And then we will have an opportunity for our out-of-town folks to kind of strut their stuff at the Ambassadors of the Universe show that will be at the BRB the following evening, Friday the 6th at 7 o'clock. And then we will kind of hop on a bus and kind of tour the city and some of the sleazier sides of the
city. Sillier way around Houston.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, we will not have any snow cones, but we will have plenty of vodka on hand.
Yes, it's a tour of the gay drinking establishment.
We want to make sure that everyone is hydrated. That's a very important thing.
Especially in Houston.
You have to be hydrated in Houston.
Yes.
And then the big evening will be Saturday, as I mentioned, the 7th,
right
over at the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown,
right.
And that will be Enthronement 5, Viva La France, from the Revolutionary...
From the French Revolution,
you know it better than I do.
to the modern runways of Paris.
Yes. All I have to do is show up. I don't have to spit out what it is.
That's the way it should be.
You shouldn't be spitting out anything at these events.
Well,
I try not to.
These events, you might say, are for the female line because they get to wear their new gowns and their big jewels. But the guys, I've heard about one of your outfits for this evening, and it sounds pretty snazzy.
You know, we try our best to stay on an equal level with the female line. I think try would be the opportune word.
Well, first of all, you have a much smaller crown.
Oh, that's smaller, yes.
I think he's dishing dirt there.
I'm glad you clarified.
Is that really your picture at Mary's?
Do you want me to drop my pants so you can do a comparison?
Remember, if you're contacting the FCC, you're listening to Dead Air.
I wasn't going to go there. I just kind of left it open for you.
Your face almost turned as pink as your shirt. Yes, you know, some of us are old enough to
It took my breath away.
And at his age, it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, no, there's some of us that do have, you know, that are still, knock on wood or formica, are still around and kicking and can say, yeah, you know, I had someone a while back say, well, isn't this person dead? And I whipped around and I said, I don't think so. But, you know. Who knows? But, yeah, that's, you know.
Wow.
You know, would you rather have your picture on the bar top of Mary's or hanging on a wall in a post office? You
well,
know,
see.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's tough, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
They're both sleazy places to be.
I think there's a certain amount of notoriety with having your picture.
I think Mary's is probably safer than
yes,
most post
yes.
offices.
Yes, and I'm just a little jealous.
That my photos there or the appendage?
That mine isn't.
The appendage or your photo?
No, my appendage can't even compare to the person's picture that I saw on the bar top at Mary's.
Do you need your diet, huh?
I do. I need something, yes. Oh. Well, I want to also mention that you are empress-less tonight.
Yes, Chanel. We as you know, we took the court members on a kind of a fun little thing. We went over and played all the funky little games
mm-hmm.
to win stuffed
what
animals.
What used to be Celebration Station is now called Zuma's.
And if we'd
stopped there, right after the pizza and gone home, it would have been great.
Yeah, and we decided to play putt-putt golf, which is really normally a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Their course needs a little help.
Oh, yeah.
Needs a little help.
Oh, yeah.
And
a little interest.
Little interest,
yeah.
You know, and needless to say, yeah, Chanel was a little under the weather. It was hot. She has been running her little Filipina tushy off, trying to make sure that everything is flawless
mm-hmm.
for enthronement. And I think it got the best of her.
It did. She got kind of a heat stroke.
A little heat stroke. So she went home to get some much needed rest.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you fall out and you wake up and you're dizzy and nauseous and
not
have
a
that headache.
Thing.
And it takes a whole day to get rid of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
she's at home.
So if... this would normally be the last.
This would be our last, yeah, for this race.
Yes.
Gosh, how time flies.
Emperor and Empress-elect have been here twice.
Right.
So I think maybe we can squeeze Chanel in next month.
Okay.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Jimmy.
Okay. And we'll see you then.
Yes, you will.
This has been an evening with the Royals, and I believe Chris has a piece of music he's going to play by Nona Hendrix.
Believe all you want.
And then we've got Diane Rose coming in with her guests.
Beating hard against him, what's keeping the pain in and alive?
Not on yet. There.
Nona Hendrix, Women Who Fly. I've loved that song since the first time I heard it, and I heard it a very long time ago.
All I can do is look at the hair in there. Can you guess how old the CD is?
Ooh, that person is flying.
Yes.
Yes.
Nona Hendrix, one of the original members of Marmalade with Patti LaBelle, and she went out on her own and did quite a few CDs, and
she could use a hairdresser, though.
I remember Marmalade. What was the popular song that they did?
Voulez-vous coucher
avec moi. That was it. That was a good song.
Yes.
Loved dancing to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Nona came out. So
she did?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm playing her.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Jimmy only plays music from openly GLBT artists.
Right.
Wow.
And not the popular ones.
Wow.
Right. Right.
You got to twist his arm to get Elton or Melissa or KD on here.
My goodness. I didn't know there were any others.
Oh, there are hundreds. Now that with the advent of computers and independent artists can cheaply make their own CDs and get them distributed.
Good point.
On a couple of queer music lists. And so artists just send them to me.
Cool.
I don't have to go out looking for it anymore.
Cool. So
great.
Any of you out there in radio land having to make a CD, send it to Jimmy.
Absolutely. You know, there is so much good talent here in Houston, and I have gone up to different live singers and over the years and begged them to put something either on tape or CD or whatever so I can play it on the air, and only one person has ever done that.
Wow.
Nancy Ford.
She did a musical or
she did,
jokes?
She sang.
Cool.
She sang. She some parodies of songs, and she did this like 15 years ago.
Wow.
But I still play it every now and then. So, what have you been up to, Diane?
Well, I've been up to a whole lot. Lately, I've been studying the subject of bisexuality. And I must admit, I knew very little about it until most recently when I met my friend who's with me tonight, Fiona Dawson.
Yes.
Fiona, if you read Outsmart magazine, she was just nominated for the Gayest and Greatest Community Fundraiser, tied with Carol Wyatt. And she's been involved with our community to quite an extent, including HRC and another AIDS service organization.
Well, you know, we do have a bisexual segment on this show.
No, I did not.
Since about 1994.
What time does that come on?
That's on the first Saturday.
Yeah, first.
The first Saturday
of the month.
Still at 1:30 a.m.?
Still at 1:30, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's a lot of things unique to the bisexual community, but I'm sure that you're going to discuss those.
Yes, we are. I guess I should have been listening at 1:30 on the first Saturday. I wouldn't have had to do all this homework. But I think Fiona is going to enlighten us quite a bit.
Okay.
I mean, the purpose of me having this show tonight and this topic is because a lot of people in our community don't believe that people are actually bisexual.
Oh, or God, I know.
They marginalize it or discount it continually.
Yes.
And we're here to dispel some of those myths.
Yes.
Aren't we, Fiona?
We're going to try, yeah.
All right. You know, like one of the myths are bisexuals are promiscuous and swingers. Well, to my knowledge, Fiona's not a swinger.
Someone once said to me, I can understand women being lesbians and I can understand men being gay, but I think bisexuals are just greedy.
Well, doubles your chances for a date on Saturday night.
See? There you have it. And people think that bisexuals are like equally attracted to either sex.
Mm-mm.
You know? And that's not the case. I imagine it runs like the Kinsey scale.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Zero being totally heterosexual, six being totally homosexual.
And everybody else in the middle.
And most everybody else.
And
in
probably.
The middle, including a dyke like me.
And probably, you know, 10% gay, 10% straight, and everybody else is somewhat bisexual.
Yep.
To a greater or lesser degree.
That's one of the things we were reading up on, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have all this research in front of us.
Okay, then I should shut up and let you do it.
Well, we got some cool new words that I just learned tonight.
Yeah.
Oh?
One of them being pansexual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pansexual.
You've heard of it? I've never heard of that.
Honey, I've been doing the show 19 years.
Okay. And you listen the first Saturday night at 1:30.
Yeah, you know, I have been so educated on the bisexual and transgender communities just from this show.
Well, Fiona's fixing to read us the definition of pansexual.
Okay.
Okay, so pansexuality, sometimes referred to as omnisexuality, is a sexual orientation characterized by a potential aesthetic attraction, romantic love, and or sexual desire for anybody, including people who do not fit into gender binary of male-female implied by bisexual attraction. Pansexuality is sometimes described as the capacity to love a person romantically, irrespective of gender. Some pansexuals who assert that gender and sex are meaningless to them.
Well,
and there you go.
So it doesn't matter what you are or what body you're in, you love the person.
Yeah.
Then they shouldn't have it sexual in the word. It should be affectional, not sexual.
Well, unless you bring sexuality into the
You like them so much,
person.
You want to do the thing.
Yeah.
The common phrasing for that is you fall in love with the person and work out the plumbing later.
Yeah, that's what my ex told me.
I think think you can just make the plumbing work, can't you?
I think you can. I mean, they've got all kinds of... Even without the solder and the blowtorch, you can make the plumbing work. Tell me, bisexuals, when you get in a relationship, you know, I thought, well, if you got into a relationship, you were bisexual with one of the genders, then you would always, in the back of your mind, be attracted and want to go to the other one. Well, since I've done my research, I find that that's definitely a big myth, that y'all are monogamous.
Yeah, I think, I mean, bisexual people can have monogamous relationships the same way heterosexual and homosexual people can. And I think when you enter into a monogamous relationship, regardless of your sexual orientation, you choose to, you know, stay with one person or not. So I don't think it's a matter of, you know, being in a relationship with a woman and then wanting men any more than if you are a lesbian and you're in a lesbian relationship, you have to decide whether you're going to be monogamous or not.
Yeah, I still want other women, but I was monogamous. I mean, when I'm in a relationship, I am, not that I quit being monogamous. But, you know, in my community, and I gotta tell you, I was guilty of this. I always thought that bisexual people were probably just haven't made their full transition to gayness yet. Of course, I think everybody's gay. So, but now I know that that's not true, that bisexuality is just like one of the three types of sexual orientation, whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual, or asexual.
Or asexual. I think there's four. Yeah, because I think...
Can you be two? I think I'm homosexual and asexual. Lately. But... I guess you haven't been in transition. Have you always known, Fiona, that you are bisexual?
Or? I'm going to be honest and say no.
Okay, I'm glad you're honest. Tell me when you found out you were bisexual.
I think for me, it most recently has just been established.
Okay.
I think that, and I'm just going to speak about my personal experience because that's all I can draw from.
That's right.
I think I have grown up always knowing that I'm not straight. That's the easiest way of looking at it. I've found it very difficult to find a label and put myself in a box, not just with my sexuality, but in all aspects of my life. I'm just weird and different.
That's very true. Very true. I can attest.
Thank you. So no, I haven't labeled myself as bisexual for as long as I can remember. Not at all. But I think that over the last 5 to 6 years, I have come to... a greater insight and through self-reflection as to establishing, okay, where do I fit in
and
the sexuality scale?
Adulthood.
Mm-hmm. An adulthood.
Recent adulthood.
So I think that bisexuality closely fits the label if one should want to label me. But I also do go with, I don't really think we have to label one another. And I think from reading some of this stuff today, realizing that it's quite common for people's sexuality to be quite fluid throughout their lives.
Absolutely. It's an evolving thing.
I mean...
I get butchered by the day.
No, I don't. I mean, sexuality is not a choice for anybody. You don't choose your sexuality. You're definitely born with your sexuality. But I think throughout life, it seems perfectly reasonable to me that you can go through periods where you might be more attracted to men or more attracted to women or you know, other genders and sexes throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so... and then there are, of course, some people that, nope, they're always attracted to one sex and they never, ever change. But everything's normal. That's the thing. I mean, there's nothing...
Yeah, and there's a lot of lesbians in the closet about it. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I know for a fact some lesbians have slept with men that you would never think in a million years would sleep with a man. And I would never out anybody about that. That's their personal business. But it's much more prevalent than we talk about or know about.
I want to say something about that as well, because... I think, say, if a lesbian has slept with a man, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to now be bisexual. They might not be bisexual. I think a homosexual person can have sex with someone of the opposite sex, but that might not necessarily mean that they're now not homosexual.
Exactly. It's not their orientation.
Right.
That's been my experience. Yeah.
Right. Me too.
There was a time, and it was in my late 20s, I had been gay all my life, but in my late 20s I experimented with bisexuality and slept with a bunch of different women and couples and things like that, and realized that, you know, no, this is not what, this doesn't really turn me on.
Right.
Men turn me on. But something else I wanted to bring up is that the coming out process can be doubly difficult for bisexuals. Especially, you know, when you're even, you know, you don't even have to be a teenager. Even later in life, it's that you know you're not straight, but you know you're not gay either. And so you, like, where do I fit in? And until somebody introduces you to bisexuality, you may not even realize it until way later in life. And some of the problems there is that there's not a bisexual community. There are not bisexual bars or coffee houses or very many organizations. So
how do you look like a bisexual?
That's right.
I look like a dyke. I don't look like a girl. So people kind of assume I'm gay. I'm hanging out at gay bars. But
and so
Fiona, nobody would ever know that she's bisexual looking at her.
If a bisexual person walks down the street with an opposite sex person, you think straight.
Yep. Yep.
If it's a same sex person, you think gay.
Yep.
There's no recognition for bisexuality.
I would love to talk about this.
Please do.
Talk about
please do.
I want to create a pin or a badge that says, hey, look, come on, I'm bisexual. Because the experience I've recently had is fascinating because, I'd been in a gay relationship for nearly 2 years, and it was easy for me to come out. I've been very fortunate and lucky because I have been living and working in an environment where I'm in the LGBT community. So that was very easy. Now I'm spending more time I've had lots of gay men friends for years anyway. I'm dating somebody.
A boy.
Mm-hmm. I kiss. Oh, actually.
No, excuse me, Raul. It's a man.
I texted my sister and said, I kissed a boy last night, and she texted back, but I thought you were a thespian. Okay. Anyway, but enough about that. But what's so interesting is you now go to the same places where you want to go hang out, and you feel comfortable, but you feel like you're being looked at as a traitor,
yeah.
Or a straight couple coming in and on the gay territory.
I thought somebody nabbed her.
And I hate that. Yes, you did. Yeah, Diane was the first.
I said, are you okay? Did that boy tab you?
So it frustrates me so much because this is the community that I love. This is the community where I feel most comfortable. And I love being a part of the LGBT community. And now all of a sudden, you're having to really find some internal strength to hold your head up high.
Because there are a lot of people who just will not accept you now.
I'm now finding that as I'm disclosing to friends that, you know, I'm dating, I'm seeing a man, that they're asking me, you know, so are you seeing anyone, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, well, you know, I have to come out. And they're like, look a bit confused. I'm like, oh, I'm bisexual. And then you just have to judge what the reaction is going to be there next. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I've been starting to talk to some of my friends, and I've spoken to a few gay male friends, and it's very interesting how several of them have said, well, so am I. And that's been really cool because, I mean, but they've disclosed to me, but no one else knows.
Mm-hmm.
So, Diane told me that there is a bisexual organization here in Houston, so I'm going to be checking them out.
Yeah.
And
by
I think
net.
It would be good to by start, start doing something for the bisexual community.
I need to jump in here and remind people that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener-sponsored Pacifica Station KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM. Thank you.
You know, I did see a t-shirt that I thought I should get you. It says, I'm bisexual. Tonight's girls' night.
Love it.
I'll get it for you.
Now, is it small and cute and tight?
Well, it's very tight, but the letters are big. So, tell me, do you foresee yourself getting married one day and having children and that kind of thing? Or are you too young to think about that right now?
Oh, I can't think about it right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Raul.
Well, you know, you're too young to be thinking about that,
no,
quite frankly.
I think by the time I'm 35, maybe I'll be ready.
Ready to what?
Well, maybe to settle down. I don't know.
And do what? With children?
Yeah.
Okay. Would that be regardless if you were in a male or female?
Yes.
All right, then. Good. Then you don't discriminate.
No. Absolutely not. And actually, I'd been very resistant to getting into a relationship with a man anyway.
Why?
Because I don't know, I like women, too.
Yeah. So, if you... I'm sure you're not split right down the line, 50-50.
No. I don't know if I want to answer the next question, I think, where you're leading to.
Well, okay. What would that question be?
So, which do you like more, men or women?
Well, no.
So what number are you on the Kinsey scale?
On the Kinsey scale is where I was going with this. On a Kinsey scale of 0 to 6, 0 being totally
heterosexual. You know, I haven't taken the question that, so I have no idea.
I'm a 5.5.
You're a 5?
5.5.
Six, almost 6 plus.
I'm a 5.5, yeah.
Okay, so obviously the 6 is the most homosexual.
Right.
Zeros.
Yeah.
Okay, so from 0 to 6, I'm a 4.5, 4.5.
Yeah. So, I read this book once that said that you can tell, because it has nothing to do with sex again, I can't stress that enough, that you're walking down the street, you see two gorgeous people walking towards you. One's a boy, one's a girl, but they're equally gorgeous or handsome, however you want to describe it. It's the one that your eyes go to that you're probably leaning most towards on the Kinsey scale. But I never see two gorgeous people coming down the street, so it's hard for me to take the test.
You know, I saw a movie today. Sorry, I was in Blockbuster, and the ultimate couple, I think, Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw them walking down the street.
It was Brad
that
Pitt.
That would be tough.
Brad Pitt and what's her name, but they're not
Angelina.
Together.
Angelina.
Well, no, it's the other one.
Oh, Jennifer.
Yeah, they're not together anymore. But I think Angelina's
pretty hot.
Pretty hot, too, actually. And did you know that we have an annual bisexual day?
Yep.
September 23rd.
Next Saturday.
And I did not know that.
Yes, we do. Cool. It's sponsored by PFLAG and Transcending Boundaries.
Wow.
There's one in Boston, Toronto, Sydney, Manchester, and Sweden.
Manchester being in the UK?
Mm-hmm. Is that where you grew up?
Not Manchester.
Not Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess Houston is somewhere along the line coming to support this community. I'm surprised New York's not in here. But after the article in the New York Times recently, it seems that they're stirring it up again as far as bisexuality being a choice, and once again saying that people just don't know what they want yet. It's just, I can't believe people up there that are supposed to, where we started fighting our rights in 1969, are still talking like that, especially the press. It's amazing.
Especially the New York Times.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. But anyhow, Fiona...
But that's the problem, see? There's no really organized bisexual community to fight this. It's all done by individuals.
Yep.
Or friends of bisexuals.
Right. And even on the Binet website I went to tonight, they had the word lifestyle.
Oh.
No way.
I know. I swear to you.
I hate that word.
I hate that word.
Me too.
It's not a lifestyle. Lifestyle is riding a Harley.
Painting your bedroom blue is a lifestyle. I have a life.
Playing golf. But, exactly. But orientation, Fiona, as soon as you get involved with that group, please have them change the word. Change the word.
But we need to find and replace.
Fiona's taking the right steps by coming out. You know, the more people that come out about this, the more people you find that are.
It's scary. I mean, I got away lightly before. Now I see I have the...
Tell me, the people that you've come out with, have you come out... I know you come out to gay people, but you're coming out to straight people with that. Who's the better receptor of it?
I don't think you can judge according to sexual orientation as to who's going to receive it better.
Really?
It's down to the individual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it male or female more accepted? Or I would think that males would accept you more than females would.
I have more male friends than female friends, so I don't really have a good, you know, sample of people to judge from.
Right.
But it was interesting. This week I did come out to a friend who I have a who I've worked with in another organization that I volunteer with, and she had no idea about my sexual orientation or anything. It never, ever came up. We always have always had a very business relationship, and we had a business lunch with another friend, and it kind of just came up. And it was interesting. She just accepted it perfectly well. And I think I'd imagined her to do so.
Cool.
And we had a very fun conversation about it, actually. So, I don't know. I think I haven't told many people. I've been very quiet about it, actually. It's very, which is quite unlike me. You know I'm vocal.
Very
I wouldn't
unlike
be sat
you.
Here right now if I would. So I feel like I'm having to pluck some courage on this one.
Well, and I think you should take this to the extent you do your other activities.
Uh-huh.
You have a personal interest here, I would think.
I do, and I think it's kind of exciting as well, though, because it's a new thing to get involved with, you know, and maybe this is something where maybe I can help make a difference.
You really could. The bisexual BiNet group here is rather small.
Yeah.
And they could use a little infusion.
Yeah.
And maybe some new ideas. Yeah. and some new energy.
And I think what I'd like, I mean, the people that I have come out to, and especially those that have said, hey, so am I, but mm-hmm. I don't want to tell anyone, the next thing I've said to them, I said, well, you know, when we form a group, when we form a coalition, or when we get together, will you be with me? And they said, yeah.
Ah. Great.
So I think that is pretty cool. Maybe we can do something and put the B in GLBT.
Well, I know it. You know, I get
it's a
so...
a silent B so far.
I get so tired of the gay community, the gay and lesbian community paying lip service to bisexuals and
yep.
transgenders.
Yeah.
But bisexuals more because yeah. the transgenders are out there now. They're politicized.
Right. They've done great work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's now the... Yeah. Get the Bs involved.
So... During Pride Parade, is there a group that bisexual group that marches in the Pride Parade?
BiNet usually has a small group that marches.
And they,
if they're not marching with the pagans, it just seems that so many of the pagans are bisexual. I don't know why that is.
Very odd.
I don't know.
Strange. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to get some bisexual pride stickers or something, maybe.
I think. And mm-hmm. I learned to, you know, I feel really embarrassed that I didn't know this, that there is actually a bisexual flag.
Yes, there is. Yeah. There, and there is a symbol. It's
two male.
No, it's three triangles
yeah.
overlapping.
Yeah.
One being
oh.
pink, one being blue, and I yeah. forget the color of the other one.
They're all rainbow now.
Let me read you. This is quite interesting, though, as well, because... let me see. Many gay and bisexual individuals have a problem with the use of the pink triangle symbol, as it was the symbol that Hitler's regime used to tag homosexuals, similar to the double triangle that the Jews had to wear. Many gay and bisexual people simply do not wish to be represented or identify themselves as a suppressed group. So they actually, you know, people actually don't like using that triangle. So
no.
we have the two triangles, and then there's the bisexual pride flag that has blue on the bottom, pink on the top, and then a purple strip in the middle.
Yep, that's how the purple lavender came up with our color. Yeah. They mix blue and pink together.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we went to the rainbow flag, because of the negative connotations of the pink triangle.
Uh-huh.
But how do you know if you're bisexual or not? I mean, because we talked
how
about...
How do you know
you have
you're
experience.
Homosexual? How do you
well,
know
I'm
heterosexual? How do you know you're homosexual?
Know
well, how do you know, Diane? Tell
well,
me about
because
that.
Because I'm totally attracted to women. So
well,
that makes me a queer,
uh-huh,
I think.
Uh-huh.
Always have been, always will be. But
so,
if I were bisexual, or even, say I'm on a number four on the Kinsey scale, so almost gay, I mean, almost totally gay.
Right.
But every now and then, I might want to sleep with a guy or something. That doesn't make me bisexual.
No. Well, maybe.
Does
hang
it?
On. No, I don't. Well, okay, let's go back to our definition. Bisexuality is the sexual orientation which refers to the aesthetic, romantic, or sexual desire for individuals of either gender or of either sex. For some writers, the term is parallel to homosexuality and heterosexuality, while for others, the term expresses a blend of the two. And I think you and I were talking earlier, and we both agreed that bisexuality is a sexuality in the same way
an
homosexuality is
own category.
So,
I mean, I think
but
that
but just because
if
that person, lesbian, sleeps with a man every now and then doesn't make her bisexual?
Well, it depends if she has the aesthetic, romantic, or sexual desire for that man. I think if someone has an aesthetic, romantic, or sexual desire for another human being...
How about just sexual?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure,
but I would guess that these women that I'm thinking about, probably it was a sexual experiment.
Is there anything wrong with them that, with them calling them bisexual?
No.
Or why do we have to label at all? Why do we have to call ourselves anything?
Well, because we want to be truthful with ourselves. I don't want to... Mm-hmm. If I were doing that, not that I ever have, actually, one time I did. I slept with a man when I was 23, my best friend, because I was dating straight women, telling them not knock it till you try it, and they were telling me not knock it till you try it. So I tried it, but I loved the guy, and maybe that was the problem, but I'm just not attracted to guys.
Yeah.
But enough about me, Fiona.
Okay, sorry. I did a good job there, didn't I?
Yes, she did. Okay. So when you were younger and growing up and, and coming into your own, you know, 13 or 14, whenever that happens, were you confused because you thought about both, or did you not think about one and think about the other, or was that any struggle internally
for you? There was no struggle or confusion, and I think I kind of have some regrets because I think that I put myself into the norm and what was expected too easily and didn't question push it far enough, and... you know, I had a growing up crowd of friends and, you know, everybody had a boy that they fancied. And, of course,
certainly.
I'm going to use English terms here, you know, the fancied thing. And so, you know, I just fall into that to fit in with the crowd and fit in with the group. I wasn't the popular person in the group. You know, I was kind of someone who was mid-range, you know. But I've always been attracted to women, but never thought that, hey, I could actually pursue that. But it wasn't anything I was really battling with. I knew it was there, but it was almost like it was a treat that I couldn't give to myself. But I didn't question it any further.
Right.
And so
a lot of gay people do that.
So, yeah, so it wasn't a struggle. And so now I have regret because I wish that at university I'd done more.
It's never too late.
Well, it gets a point when it is now.
We'll see. That'd be like saying it's too late for me to go straight.
Yeah.
It is. But if I wanted to, I could.
Yeah.
I think.
But no, I think, I feel very happy with who I am, and
you should be. You're a fine young woman.
Well, thank you very much.
And there's a bunch of bisexual books out now, even a bisexual magazine. Seems to be a topic that people are finally willing to talk about. Mm-hmm. So anybody out there that's questioning their sexual orientation, study it up, man. We found a bunch of stuff on the internet, and all these new books coming out. Oh, there was a Klein scale, too. Franz Klein, he did a study and was head of the BiNet group, just recently passed away, heart attack at 60 last May. But he will be greatly missed. He did a lot for the bisexual community. So... another thing that lesbians in particular think when I tell somebody I'm dating a straight woman, they immediately go, oh my God, be careful, you're going to get some kind of disease. Well, and then bisexuals have been, you know, given the bad rap that they're helping spread AIDS and sexually transmitted disease and all that other stuff because they're assumed promiscuity. Mm. But I don't think that... I know that's not true with you. And from what I've read and studied, I don't think that's true with any of them. They're just like you and I. I mean, some of them are promiscuous. Well, some of us are, too.
Yeah.
But I guess it depends on the individual, not all of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately... because, you know, we can be our own worst enemies. I know that homosexuals for many, many years were because we were in the closet. Because we were in the closet, people didn't know who we are. And people fear and discriminate against the stuff that they don't know about or are not educated about. And I think that's probably one of the biggest battles the bisexual community is going to have to overcome is getting out of the closet. And like we talked about earlier, it's hard to do that without a group because you can't identify anybody as bisexual.
Right.
You know, but I think all women are because they sleep with me. I don't know.
All women sleep with you, Diane?
Well, any woman I've ever gone after has slept with me. I can say that.
Okay.
And they've all, most of all of them have been straight.
Hmm.
But, and most of them go back straight. And just because they slept with me doesn't make them gay or bisexual.
But do you have conversations with them about that? I mean, do they talk
yeah,
about that?
Yeah. And the ones that I've had long-term relationships with, they say it's just me.
Mm. I've heard that.
I know that's bullshit.
I know. But, I've heard that from other people,
I can't
too.
Say the S word. Sorry about that. But anyhow, I know I'm not that special where I would just be the only one or the reason why they were with me for 12 years. I think
right.
that at some level they must be
uh-huh.
bisexual.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I know someone else who has had women who have been in relationships with her, and they say, oh, it was just you.
Yeah.
Just because it was you. But
so I guess it's their own fears of coming out, or because they haven't been with anybody else. Maybe did they feel like they don't... But if they go back straight
maybe.
After they
but
leave me, then...
For me, I think...
And they all leave me.
Now I'm prompted to ask you a question about
that. Oh, here we go again. Oh, dying on the spot.
No, he's leading me into the
Okay, Fiona, I got a bunch of questions here.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So,
answer a question with a question.
All right. Well, here's the question I have. And I thought about this, and I didn't know if it was appropriate to ask you. So,
if it's not, I'm just going to say.
I don't want to answer that.
Okay.
When it comes down to the actual physical being with a person.
Yes.
It has to be very different between a man or a woman, I would think. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think it's different between all people, regardless of their gender.
You're probably right there. Okay, then I won't even go down
there. Have I stumped you?
I won't go down there.
No, well, you can go down there, because you can ask.
Okay,
if
I'll
I don't
ask.
Want, if
well,
I don't want to answer,
tell me what
I'll
you
say.
Did today. just want. She made a stop
okay.
today.
Well, okay.
Okay.
I did some research.
Yeah, besides the research, I think you went to a shop and did a little bit of research.
Yeah, well, that was for research.
Okay, I see.
Okay, so I know it's not a very feminist thing of me. And I wanted to find... And
you're a feminist. But you're
mind
human.
You, I did want to call a social worker when I saw the front cover of some of the DVDs. Those poor girls look like
they went to one of those nasty shops. Okay.
Went to a porn shop.
And I'm asking... What were you looking for in there? Because she's got a boyfriend. I don't get it.
Well, I thought that I needed to do research for the show.
I use that excuse all the time, research for the show. God, you don't know how many investigations I've gotten out of it. Research. Just research.
Yep, just research.
And, I don't know. So, I went to a porn shop. And what's the question?
What were you looking for is my question.
Well, I was looking to, I wanted to test my reaction to the covers of the DVDs.
Had you never been in one before?
No,
Fiona?
Never.
Oh my God, like a virgin.
Yeah, I'm 29, I'd never been in there. I mean, I know 29's young, but I should have been to a pawn shop by now, right?
Well... Not necessarily, I guess, but I think most of us had by 29. I don't know. How about you, Chris? Had you been there by the time you were 29?
Well, let's see.
Let's see. How many times had he been there?
Let's see. I've been with the show since about when I was 24, and I found out about this radio show from a porn shop.
Mm.
Well...
I had picked up, I forget if it was This Week in Texas or Outsmart, and in the back they talked about this radio show, and I started listening in.
Hmm.
So, I owe my love of pornography
absolutely
to my being a part of this radio show.
And the whole community owes it to that. I'm telling you, Chris, thank God for dirty magazines or you'd never be here.
Well, actually, it was dirty videos, because, you know, that way, you know, when you didn't have a VCR at home, you know, and you didn't know where to rent those things from, you know, at least for $6, you can go in and watch the films that you want to see.
I see. I didn't know that, said the blind man. Well, I got a confession to make.
Yeah.
When I was 18 in Mississippi, I told people I was bisexual.
No.
Yes, I did. I did that because it was an easier thing for them to accept than me being gay. I thought I would ease them into it. So, I guess it depends on the culture and the time, or if you're talking to a male or female, but being a female, talking to males, being bisexual was more acceptable to them because they were included or inclusive of that. Not that they were bisexual, but they had a chance of sleeping with me, they thought, I guess. I don't know.
Well, even if we said lesbian, they'll go, can I watch?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
The first time I took...
How many straight men?
The first time I took my brother to a gay bar, there was a lesbian couple sitting at the end of the bar, and he just looked over at me and he goes, I would give up my car just to watch. That's the straight boy dad. Even Pat Robertson is pro-lesbian.
Really?
Yeah, but one time he made a comment about the percentages.
Uh-huh.
He said, 1% of the population is gay, but 2% is lesbian.
I see.
So even he likes to watch.
Well, even when he goes down to the Bible route thing, it's all about men. It's nothing that's sinful about women doing it.
Diane, going back to what you said about telling people you're bisexual, uh-huh. It's easier. I mean, I'm sure that many, many people have done that. And it kind of reinforces the stereotype, doesn't it, that bisexuals are just trying to hide from.
Yes, it does.
Homosexual. So maybe if we help the homosexual people to come out and be more honest, then maybe us bisexuals can get a break too.
Yeah, and even if they are honest and who they are, they still need to give you a break because we hate homophobia. We should hate biphobia as much as homophobia. And the little research that I did says that the lesbian community in itself is your worst enemy.
Right. Can I read this thing here?
Yes, you can.
All right. So, some radical lesbian feminists think that bisexual women are giving in to patriarchy. Others say that people against bisexuals are insecure about their sexuality themselves, similarly to homophobia. It is fair to note many anti-bisexuals are also anti-homosexual, while maintaining there are only heterosexual and homosexual as sexual preferences. And a commonplace stereotype is that female bisexuals are attention-seeking heterosexuals, while male ones are just self-denying homosexuals too afraid to acknowledge their true orientation.
Well, that's what I used to think, y'all just hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But that was wrong. I'm sorry. I ever thought that.
Can you tell lots of other people that you were wrong too?
Hello, all five of you out there.
Yeah, five. Do you think we can play this at, I don't know what, 9 a.m.
I was wrong.
8 a.m. 7 a.m.
But now that I'm educated on the topic,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it all makes sense.
Yeah,
there's nothing weird about it at all.
Not really.
No.
It's kind of, boring once you realize, isn't it?
Well, and if we were all perfectly evolved human beings, we'd probably all be bisexual.
Mm.
I'm discriminating against men, I guess.
Mm.
On a biological level, not a conscious level.
Mm.
But oppression's bad either way you look at it, whether it's, I don't care who it is, for what reason it is, if we're oppressing you guys, especially in my sector of the community, the lesbians, that's a bad thing.
Right.
It's a bad thing.
And I think especially when I'm finding, because I've been so involved in this community and I feel like I work hard for this community, to now feel like I have to prove myself to this community for the first time.
Unbelievable.
It's kind of strange. And you have to really work hard to keep that motivation to keep wanting to serve and to help.
Well, don't take it to heart.
No, I won't.
Because those people just don't know any better.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
And you're doing a very good thing for our community, and we appreciate it, especially us that are knowledgeable now about bisexuality. But no joke. I mean, a lot of people just don't know any better. Right. It's all about education.
Well, maybe we can build on the bisexuality day. Like this annual
event thing. On
the 23rd.
The 23rd.
Doesn't the community annual. The community needs another fundraiser or something, right?
I think so. Or just go meet somewhere in a group to identify each other would be good.
Let's get some local press on this.
Well, PFLAG apparently is involved. I don't. PFLAG is very organized. One of the most organized groups that I've ever seen, and it's worldwide, not just nationwide, and they're sponsoring this conference coming up, so maybe that's a place to start. If you get PFLAG on your side, they can do a lot as far as changing perceptions. Mm-hmm. Now, usually they're talking to parents and friends, but they need to talk to lesbians, apparently.
Well, there are different lesbian organizations we could go to and kind of start educating that way, right?
That's very true. Mm-hmm. Like which one?
Well, I'm not going to start naming them.
Okay, because I can't think of one. I can't think of one lesbian
I have three in my head right now.
Well, then we'll do it. Absolutely. You need to get on the agenda. Spend 15 minutes to spell some of these myths.
I will.
You know, and maybe they're just threatened. They're threatened at some level that, or believe that you have a choice. How dare you get on my platform when you have a choice? Mine's, they don't believe it's an orientation.
Right. And you think that they, you know, because the homosexual community feels that it's had to struggle so hard that, that maybe there's some envy, or is that going too far?
Well, it could be envy, or it could be they're resentful completely because they didn't have a choice.
Do you think that's how you felt one time?
I wanted to be a heterosexual. I didn't want to be a homosexual. Shoot. Back in the 60s in Mississippi, yeah, pick me, discriminate against me, burn a cross on my yard, put me in jail. That's what I like. No, I tried to be as a matter of fact, when I came out to my parents when I was 17, they thought that when I came home from school, rather than going out to play football with the boys, if I cooked dinner with my mom, it might make me straight. It didn't. So they sold my motorcycle. They thought that would work. It didn't. But, of course, I think we all struggle with that because we want to be accepted and loved. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be loved. And when you're in an environment that says to be loved, you have to be this way, that you try to be that way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have, and nobody succeeds at that. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And everybody loses from that. Even the people, their family, that thinks they want the best for them, that's not the best for somebody to not be themselves. And what's that? What's that gay organization that says you can, they can turn you back straight again?
Oh, gosh.
What is that organization?
Well, there's Exodus.
Yeah, Exodus, that's it. I mean, those people have failed miserably and really screwed up some people.
Yeah.
And their families.
But they get a lot of cute guys coming to their events.
Did you go to one of those?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about it.
I covered it. Was about 2 years ago now. They had their Love One Out conference, and I went into it with an open mind, so open that there was bets being placed on whether or not I was returning.
Wow.
Some of my friends really thought I was going to go there and drink the Kool-Aid. And I'll be honest, yeah, I was at a point in my life of, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to be miserable either way. Let me avoid the gay bashing complex, and maybe. But there was a lot of cute guys there, and yeah, I was surprised. The one guy said he was always been straight, and it's like, please, you look like the biggest fag in the room here. You got an earring in one ear.
Which ear?
I forget which ear it was.
He could have been bisexual, you know.
He wouldn't admit to that, but it was, like I said, I went to the event and I interviewed a lot of the speakers, and it was a very interesting thing. And, I think a lot of people were there, you know, because their parents dragged them along.
Right.
But no, it was something to be a part of, because one part of my thing is there's an intellectual curiosity on all of these things about, you know, I want to hear from their mouth what they're saying about us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to filter.
Right.
So when I came back with the clips and all that, I didn't edit out where they, you know, or I didn't edit any of that out. I wanted you to hear everything about it so that you can make your opinion on what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
From there. And it was very informative. Like I said, it was something I covered for on our show and actually did for the news for the station.
What were they saying?
Like one of the curious things is I asked the one person, do you think it's a choice?
Right.
And I had a whole page. I had a little notebook. I had like four or five follow-up questions on for when she said, yes, I do believe it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at me and says, no, it's not a choice. Explain. You know, because my thing was this, you know, if you're going to say that, you know, being homosexual is a choice, then, and it shouldn't be protected, isn't it also a choice to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? But but why is that protected? Why is that choice? Then I forgot to ask that because she said, you know, I really don't think it's a choice.
Well, then she just... why would she want to change somebody then if she doesn't think it's a choice?
I forget the exact answer, but it was an interesting thing. She herself was changed.
Changed.
She
changed
was,
behavior.
Yeah. She was former lesbian. You look at her and it's like, they didn't do much work.
She's still gay. She just changed her behavior.
Yeah. Part of it's denying a part of what you are.
Yeah.
People go through the stages and they have to go through the understanding and all that. You know, I messed around slightly with girls when I was younger. You know, I looked at Penthouse and Playboy, and yes, it worked for me because I was told, you know, that's supposed to interest you.
Right.
And then after years, it's like, well, you know, let's move to Hustler because there's a guy in the picture. Mm-hmm. Or I was one who actually read the stories.
Me too.
Then you start getting into the videos. And, you know, like after I came out, my brother was like, you know, why did you always fast forward through the lesbian scenes? It's double the vagina. Yes, but it's zero the penis. You know, it's those sorts of things. You know, I went through those times of thinking that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got two younger brothers. You know, no gay experience in their portions, you know.
That you know of.
One, you know.
That they did too.
One married an exotic dancer, one married his high school sweetheart. Sort of thing.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's not... I don't know why. You know, like I said, it was a thing of self-discovery. It's not like I woke up one morning and go, I like show tunes. it wasn't like that. But then again, you know, being a gay man, I can appreciate... When you mentioned Manchester, ask them out there. I was singing Manchester, England from the musical Hair out in the lobby. It just hit me. But... It's a progression of going through the experiment of understanding who you are.
Mm-hmm. So this woman that was at this Exodus thing talking, how long had she been a changed woman?
I think she was probably about 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
And like, she's been going on these tours.
And was she in a relationship with a man?
I don't recall if we got to that
I wonder,
point.
How long ago was this?
This was about 2 years ago.
I wonder where she is now.
Oh, we should find her.
That would be interesting. See if
that was
good.
Yeah, because I date straight women.
You'll change her, won't you, Diane?
Love one.
Oh, well.
That's still...
But from what I hear, most of the Exodus people, they struggle for a year or two, and then they said, forget this.
Yeah, well,
my next-door neighbor had gone to Exodus, and he told me a little bit about it. And
these pictures look... She's still there. Melissa Fryrear.
Fryrear.
Insert joke here.
Rear?
Mike Haley, he looks familiar from the event. But, I mean, if you look at, you know, Melissa Fryrear, you know... She kind of looks like the bastard child of Amanda Bierce and Rosie O'Donnell. She's got the face of Amanda Bierce and the body of Rosie.
Lovely.
But no, yeah, those are the two that I remember their names.
So this group started from the Christian right. Was that the whole...
Yeah, focus on the family.
Okay, gotcha. That family value thing. Yeah. That value word.
I love those bumper stickers. Sure, they say they focus on your own damn family. but no, that's, yeah, that was, and this is the conference has been going around the country. In fact, they're going to be in Palm Springs next weekend.
Florida or California?
California.
Too bad they missed the dinosaur event.
Oh, you know what I need to do? I think... I have to double check. I believe there is an event of fat, furry gay men occurring in Palm Springs.
Ooh, you should go.
I need to tell them.
And then raid the Exodus thing while you're out there.
Well, like I said, they may remember me from... Like I said, I was interviewing the speakers in this other room. and all that. And but now, maybe need to call up the guys over in Palm Springs and tell them they need to move an event down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're going over to Atlanta then.
Hot Atlanta.
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, yeah, it was not that bad of an event, you know, going in from the intellectual curiosity point of view.
Right.
With those things. I said, some people think I'm a little crazy with that stuff. You know, a couple months ago, I played Fred Phelps on the air.
You are crazy. But that, I wish I'd have listened to that.
But
the reason, you were awesome.
Well, what it was is he has a website now that explains what his signs mean.
Like God hates fags? What does that mean?
So he goes through and it tells you why God hates fags. And it's a little video clip that you can look on the online. And so they go through and they tell you, you know, this is why God hates fags. This is why Bush is a fag enabler. all these sorts of things. And so one night, it was just like we were didn't have anyone here. And so I said, well, you know, let's hear from our enemy what they're saying. Let's hear them exactly why they're saying what they're saying, so you understand what perspective they're coming from.
Right.
I was also kind of hoping, you know, his grandson did a video. Actually, I was hoping his grandson did a different type of video, but hey. He's got a hot grandson.
Really?
Yeah. I'm hoping there's going to be a movement to try and bring him over to the dark side. Where is that? The Signs of the Times. Yeah, the signsofthetimes.net. is one of his many websites he has, where you can, you know, pull down their videos of the different signs, and they've got a wonderful collection of signs they do. You know, God hates fags, thank God for IEDs, Bush is a fag pimp.
I heard that they've made it illegal for them to attend funerals of gay men recently.
Well, not gay men.
Oh.
It's making it illegal for them to protest at federal cemeteries because they have been protesting soldiers' funerals from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay, so it's not the gay men. They can still do that.
For all those years, I've got mixed emotions on this issue, and I've talked about it before. You know, being a part of this radio station and that, I have a very strong sense of freedom of speech. And I'm all in favor of someone standing up on the street corner and making their point across. What gets me upset is the fact that now all of a sudden he's going after soldiers. Then the government's going to say, oh, no, he can't say those sorts of things. But he's been saying it for years upon years at gay funerals. So it's like, you know, where were you before telling him to shut the hell up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we've got this situation, and it comes down to, you know, supposedly America, you know, because of the fact that they haven't outlawed sodomy and thrown stones at us and put us in the stockade and cut our heads off and all the other bull crap. And combine that with the fact that several years ago, I don't know why, but somebody decided to put a pipe bomb on his property. It was a place of pipe bomb, and it blew up. Pipe bomb and Molotov cocktails are the old terms. They're now called IEDs. Improvised explosionary devices.
Mm.
So he's protesting the fact that, you know, because, you know, these fags came over and tried to blow him up, now God is allowing pipe bombs to blow up American soldiers.
Oh, great.
And that's his explanation with these things.
Yes, because America is a fag-loving country, is, I think, how he puts it.
Yeah.
Then he needs to leave.
Yeah, so, you know,
methinks he protests too much.
Absolutely.
I don't want him on our team. His grandson.
Definitely not.
I got the invitation. I will go and buy the toaster oven. I'm sorry, but that, and I can say that because he's 18, so, you know, even if he wasn't 18, as my standard line goes, you know, that boy made my inner priest go, hallelujah.
So is the rest of his family actively involved in his crusade?
That's all in his active crusade.
Yes, his church is his family. There are very few other members.
Is he still married?
Apparently,
yeah. I think so.
You know, let's go back to his other website.
Did you ever see his wife? She's very low profile.
No, I think it was his wife or his daughter that was, a few times you'll hear me say this, God bless Fox News. One of their reporters was reaming a woman on there about, again, it was about the protesting of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, my God, Fox News actually did something for us. But no, right now he's just protesting at soldiers. And like I said, if there's ever a time out there, anyone, you're feeling good about yourself, and you want to look at something like this, go to GodHatesFags.com.
Oh, my God, he even has a website.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Sweet Jesus, he's coming to Houston next week.
For bisexual
ladies
day?
And gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Fred Phelps Crusade comes to Houston, Texas.
What day?
It will be on Sunday, September 24th at 10 a.m.
I'm
going to
be out of town.
Me too.
Oh.
And you're not going to believe where he's protesting.
Where?
It is week 795 of the Great Gage Park Decency Drive, Westboro Baptist Church, to picket the heretic Joel Osteen and his Lakewood Church leper colony and dog kennel at 10 a.m. Saturday, September 24th. Sunday. At 3700 Southwest Freeway, Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
In religious protest and warning, God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7, God hates fags and fag enablers. Ergo, God hates Osteen and his monstrous so-called prosperity gospel mega church.
Oh,
why does he hate his church? I don't recall Joel ever, sticking his neck out.
Well,
homosexuals.
No.
The closest thing is he does come out of the closet every week. I don't know if it's his new church, but in his old church, he used to dress in a closet.
Literally.
Physically, in a walk-in closet was his dressing room.
Why?
That's all the room they had. So each week before his sermon, he came out of the closet.
What do you know?
Oh, gosh. It's partaking because of his prosperity gospel mega church. All the other just normal bull crap he has on there. But he's got a picture of the new church in there. So I'm glad I looked at this.
I can't believe this. I mean, of all places to protest. He must be running out of gay places.
Somebody, some higher power told me to go to his website today and see that.
Wow.
Fred.
Okay.
Oh, hell, I got to post this to LSA.
Absolutely.
But we do have to be careful. We don't want to give him too much attention because that's really what he's seeking,
right.
Obviously.
Right. Of course.
A lot of the times he puts out these things and maybe one or two protesters.
Mm-hmm.
But, they've got to import him in there. I mean, when we had the 2106 rally, when it was defeated, we only had one protester showing up. And, I think he had his sign was... okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't a fabulous sign.
Well, I can remember when the Ku Klux Klan marched down Westheimer.
Yeah.
And hardly anybody. I went down there just to videotape it for historic reasons, but there was maybe 10 people there.
Right. They put the word out to the gay community to avoid it.
And we did.
We ignored them.
Yeah.
So. Were there many protesters this year at the Pride Parade? I was out of town for the Pride Parade.
We had none.
Me too. I missed it.
That's what I heard from someone else.
Oh. If there were any, they were in the very beginning, because by the time the KPFT float came around, they were gone.
I was on 30 or 34 float, and they weren't out there.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of interesting.
Fiona, is that your boyfriend in the lobby?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he's bisexual.
And he's hot.
Yes, I'm gay too, gay man.
Now, Jimmy, do I need to fish out the song I just did your boyfriend for you to play for?
No.
Okay, I was just checking. That reminds me, I still got to get a copy of that to Falcon.
Fiona, do you think it's easier dating a bisexual?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
We have a lot... I don't know, we understand one another on that level, and I think sexuality is an important part of who we are as human beings, and I think that it makes it a lot easier to have that understanding from another person.
My last boyfriend was bisexual.
Mm-hmm. And what was your experience?
Oh, it was fine, because I also have a lover.
Yeah. Get a scorecard ready, honey. This... let me give you the lineup on here, okay? Jimmy has a lover who has another lover.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Who has a girlfriend.
Who had a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Who had a husband.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
And everybody was
and
happy.
And you wonder and why they talk about us.
And everybody was happy. It worked.
Well, that's cool.
Worked.
In fact, yeah, well, I mean,
go ahead.
Like, there are couples, I mean, some couples choose not to be monogamous.
Right.
Right.
And are completely happy and comfortable with it. And if that's great, I mean,
that's what they want
to do, yeah, then that's great.
And then, you know, because then, we all then it's like us, and I would consider this polyamory.
Yeah.
Yep, that's mm-hmm. the word. That's another new
we
word.
We have a label for everything, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. The humans just want to compartmentalize everything in their brain so they can keep track of it. I don't know why.
But it worked. It just worked, and, mm-hmm. and it was great while it lasted. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my boyfriend had family problems and had to move back to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
We talk once a week, mm-hmm. but it's not the same.
Yeah, long-distance relationships
yeah.
are tough.
Yeah, it's very tough.
Well, folks, that brings this hour to a close. I certainly do appreciate you coming on board with us, Fiona.
This has been wonderful.
Hasn't it, though?
Yes.
And, you know, Fiona's got a lot of political interest, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Wyatt... Rumor has it that she's interested in coming back on the show.
Oh.
And I think I could probably twist Fiona's arm
mm-hmm.
to be on there, the show with her. And since the election's coming up, I think maybe September, October, that's what
that's
we should
great.
Do. Not September, this is September, October. That's what we should do.
Get some no-dos for your boyfriend.
Yeah. Trust me, if he's around, if Jimmy's around, you better make sure he stays away. It's not beyond Jimmy.
Oh, I'm harmless.
That's fine. Famous I'm completely confident that I don't need to worry about a thing.
There you go. There you go. That's the right attitude.
Okay. All right. Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just finishing up sending this thing to LSA. We don't have much time to recruit the troops. Oh, I already got something played out. Jimmy, I already got some going on.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Good.
I finally found this other stuff, so we're going to go with something a little different once
okay.
I send this off here.
Okay,
We actually played it before.
What is it?
We're going to play Flutter.
Flutter.
It's something, we're playing it right from the net.
We're playing it from the computer.
Oh. That's why it's taking so long, folks. He's downloading
it. Well, no, I already had downloaded it. I was actually sending that email to Lone Star Activist.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Chris is fired up.
He is. Ooh. He is. Here
Ooh, he's
we
fired
go.
Up.
And this is the kind of music that Diane likes.
All right.
Okay.
So, this is Flutter. We played them a while ago back in June and found out where the email was to drag them down again.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, Diane, we'll see you again next month.
Definitely.
And next month it will be the second Saturday of the month.
Okay,
we'll
back on
back
schedule.
Back on schedule.
Yeah. We preempted for my event.
Yes.
And I'm sure it was well worth it.
Oh, it was. It was great. It was just great, especially once we got connected.
Once we got it hooked up.
There was a connection problem, yes, and it was...
Technical difficulties.
Yes, and it was this... I computers are not my friends. You know, I'm a 20th century man being dragged into the 21st century.
And there was no porno involved on the site he went to, so.
Right, so I didn't know what to do. Okay.
All
thank
right.
you, Fiona.
Good night, folks. You're welcome.
Diane.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
The President of the United States wants to institute. The President of the United States wants to institute. Be non-menacing. The President of the United States wants to be non-menacing. The President of the United States wants to be non-menacing. To suburbia.
Gospel going wrong, sweating down into down and dirty song. Is a dirty song. Perversity, obscenity, can it be? What he sees is me. And you love your daddy when he sings and raises his arms like dirty wings and soars into your body like it's sky. And it's okay if I die, choking on his lullaby, telling me I'm right, and that together we've both got hold of my. He tells me I've gone to sea. That's okay, it just means I'm growing things. I'm a blister on his soul, and he touches me, although it stings. And you love your daddy when he sings and raises his arms like dirty wings and soars into your body like it's sky. And it's okay if I die, choking on his lullaby, telling me I'm right, and that together we both got hold of my mind. As my own cry is geography of open lies and bodies that can't seem to rise, but they shoot a man who even tries. And no hope is a religious right that lost its forgotten to Friday night. Sit down here on my splintered thigh, and I'll tell you how to make a Denver. That's just a king they killed. You say you ain't ready, boy. Pretty soon you will. But you will. Love your daddy when he sings and raises arms like dirty wings and soars in. Like it's sky, and it's okay if I die, choking on his lullaby, telling me I'm right, and that together we've both got hold of my mind. As my own cries, geographies of open lies and bodies that can't seem to rise, but they shoot a man who even tries. And you know hope is a religious right that lost its regard to Friday night. Sit down there on my splinter thighs, and I will tell you how to make.
I wasn't sure what I was grabbing there when I picked that one out.
Oh, that was good.
That was Dudley Saunders.
Oh, I love him.
And that was Dead Bird Fly.
Mm-hmm. That's a very amazing CD. And he is a pretty amazing fellow. He's been to Houston twice. He's absolutely magnificent. He's got a beautiful body, a beautiful mind, and a beautiful voice. And he sings intelligent music.
And you didn't share him with the rest of us. Kind of like when Jeff Stryker came to town.
Yeah, well.
And before that was a group called Ramp, mm-hmm. and the song was Flutter.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get some more information on them. It's one of those things where I put out on different kinds of groups, saying, hey, if you're a musician and you want to get a little radio airplay, let me know. So I got to get down the rest of the music there so I can play it on CD.
Okay.
But now we're going to bring to you...
Did we do a station ID?
No, we still have time.
Okay.
But you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 on Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Ooh.
I hope they give us enough warning when we change that again.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. There's a lot to memorize.
Well, actually, it's going to be shorter.
Oh. Oh, because when they get the...
When we get the new transformer and all that.
Have the Galveston
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, we'll have to Galveston.
Reach Galveston, okay. And beyond, which would be great. Now we've got some new music.
There's not much further out beyond on Galveston.
Well...
We've got some new music.
New music you can't even get yet. Because I tried to buy this new CD just this week, and it's not available yet.
Not available yet, but then, you know, I pull up and find a video, a music video for this song. And it's the Scissor Sisters.
Oh, I love them.
And the song is I Don't Feel Like Dancing, is the song on the CD, which is going to be called Ta-da.
Yeah.
And the person who commented on here, I wore out the first album and grew tired of them, but I have to admit they put a smile on my face.
You bet.
This video convinces me that I'm looking forward to the new album. Now, that's the people who do the website. And someone commented on here, the song sounds like the bastard love child of the Doobie Brothers and Leo Sayers.
Leo Sayers?
Sayers, yeah, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Where's my glasses? second review, Oh Snap. I have been waiting for the second album to come out. I wore out my first album and it's been anticipating the second. Someone said tragic, but they misspelled tragic, so I don't know if it's good or not.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. So, you can find the video if you are under the age of 18, go to YouTube.com and do a search for the Scissor Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find it where I'm finding it at and find the other wonderful thing, and you are 18 years of age and
up,
you can go to QueerClick.com and do a search of the Scissor Sisters. And you can avoid all this other naughty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I got that button pushed. That's ready there. Bringing you exclusive on After Hours. Here, I Don't Feel Like Dancing by the Scissor Sisters. I hope this works.
I guess it didn't work.
Oh, all that hype, and it says the video was no longer available.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh. Oh, you bastards at YouTube.
Oh, that's not right. That's not right.
The video's been removed due to terms of violation.
What?
It's copyright protected.
Oh.
And they're getting a little pissy with it. Damn.
I was looking forward to that. I'm really anticipating the second album because the first one was so good.
Those are video clips that were edited out of the video of Filthy Gorgeous.
Oh my!
shoot.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so upset about that. Damn you, YouTube. See, usually they'd steal a copy of it and put it on there. So let's just play with the old CD.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to keep looking.
Okay, keep looking.
Which one should we go?
Any one you want. I'm going to be so sorry I said that.
Well, you know I keep threatening to play tits on the radio.
Well, go ahead.
One, two, three, four, five,
oh,
six,
because
seven.
I said you could, and now you don't want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll wait till you're gone next week. Oh, please, you know, I'll play a homage to the human body. We'll play tits on the radio, pop you in the pooper.
Wow.
Enormous penis, you know.
Great.
And remember, you'll hear that all next week on Dead Air. Let's give you some of the old Scissor Sisters while I see if I can track down the new Scissor Sisters. This is After Hours. And hopefully it's filthy gorgeous that we just saw a lovely little picture of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
They had edited of Jake Shears sucking on a dildo and getting spanked.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That was a very lifelike looking dildo.
Yeah. Let's go to music.
Okay.
I left my heart in San Francisco. It's the motherfucking deal.
Oh, yes, we got this. We got this. Walking down the street and a man tries to get your business.
okay, I wasn't paying attention to see that was in it. Come on. Stupid computer. I found the song. If I just get this stupid computer to get out of this loop that it's in. And now. Damn computers. There we go. All right, now, after I hyped and premiered it, did it there, and hey, it doesn't matter if I'm showing you the video because you can't see the video anyway. So, we're going to now play, this is the newest song from the Scissor Sisters, Don't Feel Like Dancing, on the upcoming CD. This is from After Hours, an exclusive to you. Oh, now what? It played in queue earlier. That's on. Oh, what are these people doing to me? They're making me look like an idiot, and I don't need any help. There we go. Yeah.
And there you go, an exclusive for our After Hours listeners.
There we go.
The Scissor Sisters' new song,
Don't Feel Like Dancing. So new, it's not even out yet.
That had such a Bee Gees feel to it, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and the video that I saw had kind of a disco feel to it.
Ah, okay.
From what I remember. I think I was distracted by the other things on that site.
We're kind of a small round table tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where the... Oh, I something about the when the song's coming, when the CD's supposed to come out.
Oh. Andy?
I'm here.
Are you familiar with the Scissor Sisters?
Not really.
Okay.
But I do like their music, though.
Yeah.
Kind of a nostalgic feel to
it. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Which is wonderful, besides the regular...
Because they are absolutely huge in Europe.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. Big time. And not quite so here.
But, I mean, they do have, you know, the requisite two songs that are well-known enough, because I do know they play Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Last year.
Okay.
September 26th.
September 26th is when the CD comes out?
Uh-huh.
The new one called Ta-da!
At least that's what Amazon.com is saying.
Okay.
So you can pre-order from there.
Ooh, nice.
Wonderful.
And I'm sure... Soundwaves will have it as soon as it comes out.
Yes. And, of course, you know, you do have to buy, you know, one thing you need to do.
Yes.
You know, Soundwaves over here in the Montrose.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that other show, that's how they can, they use what you buy over at Soundwaves to determine what they consider a gay hit.
What?
That, the other show on the commercial station.
Oh, yeah. The one that's on from 10 till midnight.
Yeah, when they one of the things they use to figure out, they put into the pot of figuring out how they do is what albums are selling at a record store in a gay neighborhood.
You're kidding?
No, that's one of the conditions.
That's amazing.
And also they pull a number or two out of their ass.
But. Yeah, of course.
One thing a couple things we didn't talk about. One.
Yeah.
Those of you may not have heard, because you know, we have a lack of weekly gay press now.
I know. I feel lost without a weekly rag.
Yeah. We did lose a community hero this past week, and not a hero that stepped up to to be it.
Yes.
An accidental.
Accidental. Hero.
Tyrone Gardner. The name may not sound too familiar here because you know probably more from his, I guess for lack of a better term, his partner in crime.
Yes, John.
Lawrence.
Yes.
But Tyrone Gardner was one half of the couple that was busted in 2000. Well, actually.
2000, wasn't it?
Oh, well, that's what it was. No, 1998.
Oh.
That were charged with violating 2106, Texas homosexual conduct law.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away at age 39.
Amazing.
Due to complications from meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one person who this community owes a lot to.
That's right. That's the case that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
That's right.
And they ruled in our favor that... Mm-hmm. that even though the sodomy law is still on the books, it is unenforceable.
And it's, you know, it's. I mean, let's put it this way. The scope of what this person did, you know, was to the point of the fact his obituary ran in the New York Times.
Wow.
You know, here's a 39-year-old black man from Houston, Texas, who was busted for having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And his obituary ran in the New York Times. If there's no other way of saying the impact he had of being willing to stand up and go through that for, you know, from 1998 until 2003,
mm-hmm.
to go through all the different court cases and having to admit who you are.
Yes.
In such an open way.
Yes. That was national attention to two very private men.
who never had any involvement with gay rights groups. You know,
no.
Some of the people said, "Oh, it was a setup. It was a setup."
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
These are no offense to Garner or to Lawrence. You know, these are not the poster children that we would have hand selected.
No.
And to fight this battle.
They're just very ordinary gay men.
Yeah, you know,
who did not really
interracial,
yeah.
Multi-generational.
Yes.
And to have these two people stand up and probably a little bit of pushing, a little nudging.
Oh,
little
sure.
Saying, mm-hmm. You know,
but have their case represented, yes.
And that, so, unfortunately, we lost that accidental activist. And, you know, I got a feeling sometimes, you know, accidental activism is a lot better than the people who are willing to jump on the soapbox
mm-hmm.
every time.
Mm-hmm.
And, on here. There is a...
You're right, because so many people who are willing to jump on that soapbox have an ego to go with it.
Yeah.
And the accidental ones are the very ordinary humans who are placed in an extraordinary position.
And Tyrone's community contribution to the community were immense, and his family is asking for assistance from our community.
Yes.
To help defray funeral expenses. Mitchell Katine, Lambda Legal's local counsel, who worked on the initial part of the case, has set up the Tyrone Garner Fund. You can make a donation to Preferred Bank at 11757 Katy Freeway, Suite 100, and that's Houston 77079.
Mm-hmm.
You can also contact Mitchell at 713-255-5321.
Mitchell Katine with a K.
Yeah. Or mkatine at wba-law.com. That's something that we, in our community, you have to reflect back on that.
Well, you do. Absolutely.
I remember going to the rally when... we had planned for a rally on when we knew the Supreme Court case was going to be answered on a Thursday
before the parade.
Yeah, Thursday before the parade. We knew they were coming out one way or another.
And so we were going to...
We were going to be at City Hall one way or another. It was either going to be a party or a rally or a riot.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it ended up going in our favor. And, I left work. I asked my boss, I said, I need to cover this as a story. And... went down and did that. Unfortunately, I didn't know how to operate the equipment. It didn't get a damn thing.
It was amazing, though. It was just amazing.
And I also kind of lost another friend of our community, Ann Richards.
Yes.
Passed away.
Yes.
I always loved her. It was, you know, she was in term there when I was getting ready to start voting and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her just for the fact that I always felt that someone... She could be talking at a rally. She seemed to be the kind of woman. She's got that grandmother appearance.
Absolutely.
But I could see some guy standing up at a rally or a meeting where she's saying, and go, "You're a lying SOB, blah, blah, blah." And she would come down off stage, go up and say, "You're damn right." And walk right back. She seemed to have that kind of attitude.
Even in person.
Oh,
I worked on her campaign when she was running for governor.
Did you?
When I was back in high school. Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
Yes. Wonderful speaker.
Yes.
Lovely personality.
She broke the good old boy barrier here in Texas.
She sure did.
Even if it was just for one term, she broke it. And she was able to get women and minorities into positions they would have never attained before.
Hear, hear.
And I loved Democracy Now! Was here in Houston Wednesday night into Thursday morning, so they broadcast here from Houston on Thursday, which was after mm-hmm. the story broke of her passing. And they had a clip they did from a speech she did at the 50th anniversary of the Texas Observer. It was hilarious.
Really?
I catch the rebroadcast when I'm working at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her talking about an experience going through the security checkpoint in South Bend, Indiana. And she wears something that's called a bodysuit, which, from far as I understand, it's the same thing that my 2-year-old nephew wears. You just basically slip it over, and there's 3 snaps in the crotch.
Mm-hmm.
So she was going through the metal detector, and it sets off.
Oh, my God.
So she gets wanded. And here's the security guard, and the wand keeps going off at her crotch. And tried explaining to her that what it was. And she said, I need to get a supervisor. So they bring over a supervisor to explain why this 70-year-old woman's crotch was setting off her metal detector. And the way she just said it with that southern drawl, it was just... I almost had to pull over because I was just laughing so hard.
Another community leader recently died. We announced this last week, but Chris Baudier from the leather community passed, and there's a memorial today, Sunday, at 1 o'clock at Lazarus House, which is 4106 Austin Street. That's just a block and a half off of Wheeler. And, of course, you know, Wheeler becomes Richmond on the other side of Maine. So that gives you an idea of where it is. It's close in. 1 o'clock, Lazarus House.
Yeah, I was looking. I had that saved in there on my thing, but I deleted it because it was over. Because I was going to be over with that. One thing we had not talked about, and I kick myself because I always forget about this until right before it comes up, and it's next weekend, the Gay Lesbian Film Festival.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was,
that's right. There was just... There's a booklet out on it that's in all of the clubs, and...
It just all of a sudden it hit me, and especially now that when I go to the website and realize KPFT is an official sponsor.
Oh, but I looked at the board of directors of the film festival, and I don't know a single person there.
Did it change that much?
Yes. Wow. Yes, because
You know the secretary of the volunteers.
Do I?
D.L. Murphy.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, she's a little further down.
Okay. I'm surprised Deb didn't call us, because they usually like to come on the show and talk about it.
Yeah, I contact her. But apparently it's at one venue this year.
The Angelica?
The Angelica is hosting it.
Okay.
The movies...
That's downtown.
Downtown. I'm sorry, I made a Jimmy noise there.
Goodness.
My power rate is affecting me. The festival starts off with the movie Fat Girls.
Oh.
This darkly funny feature film debut, director, writer, star, and Texas native Ash Christian is Rodney, the semi-closeted gay teen living out his indignity of high school years in a small Texas town. Faced with a drunk and distant father... with a fetish for midgets in leather.
Oh, goodness.
And an evangelical mother who insists on naming her dinner entrees using spiritually derived adjectives.
Oh.
It is only natural that Rodney's best and only friend would be the auteur and obese fellow outcast Sabrina, whose parents also happen to be the town's only out lesbians. Inspired by his Rubenesque friend, Rodney reaches the revelation. I love the fat comment. Rodney reaches the revelation that within everyone there is an inner fat girl waiting to be unleashed. With the dreaded prom fast approaching, Rodney suddenly finds a compelling reason to uncover his inner fat girl. Joey, the school's hot new student bad boy from Britain. Will Rodney's inner fat girl muster the courage to turn prom, every high school outcast version of hell, into a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? Featuring winning performances of the cast include is Ashley Fink as Sabrina, Houstonian Jonathan... Is this the same John? Cattell?
What?
Jonathan Cattell. Is that the one who did...
Coet? Yes. The same one who did
Where's Stacy when we need him?
I know it. No, this guy did a film of his life. I mean, he filmed his
he did a biographical film of himself over the years.
He had hundreds of hours of film that he pared down to like a 90-minute film. It was amazing.
Well, Jonathan Coed is playing a drama teacher by the name of Seymour Cox.
Double entendre.
Bad Girls is a highly original and seriously funny take on growing up and finding the courage to not only proudly carry your own weight, but push it around, too. I got to get there for that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's at 8 p.m. on the 22nd, which is next Friday.
Oh, ow.
And that's going to be trouble for me to get down to it, too. But here's the interesting thing.
Yes.
The following morning at 11 a.m., mm-hmm. there is a roundtable discussion on the making of the movie.
Ooh.
Fun.
Some of the cast will be there. Other movies that are coming up is The Blossoming of Máximo Olivares,
mm-hmm.
East Side Story, For the Love of Dolly. Hold on.
D-O-L-L-Y or D-A-L-I?
Five of Dolly Parton's biggest fans are the heart and soul of Ty Ullman's poignant and perverse feature documentary debut. Jeanette created a replica of Dolly's childhood cabin in her backyard.
No.
Melissa listened to Dolly songs throughout her troubled childhood, moved to Nashville solely to be closer to her idol.
Oh, brother.
David overcame the odds of a birth defect through his singular devotion to Dolly. And Patrick and Harold, a gay couple residing in suburban Dallas, have turned their love of Dolly memorabilia into a business, creating a line of lifelike Dolly dolls.
I've seen that couple on some other show. Their house is like a Dolly museum.
You sure it's not Dollywood?
Every room is crammed with memorabilia.
But for all the seemingly absurdity surrounding their individual obsessions, one finds at the bottom of their fandom a desire for inspiration and a desire to belong.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Then there's the traditional boys shorts,
mm-hmm.
collection of short films.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael, A Different Story.
Oh.
A panel discussion on the Hollywood Hustle.
Mm. What? What's that?
There's more way to skin a cat, and the same could be said of breaking into Hollywood. While most people dream of launching Hollywood careers as feature directors, the reality is most filmmakers don't start out as such. Join Alfred Cervantes, Deputy Director of the Houston Film Commission, in a conversation with Andrea Meyerson from Laughing Matters More, Carlos Portugal from East Side Story, and David Dean Bottrell from Available Men, as they share stories and insight on the many ways to hustle in Hollywood.
Hmm.
I guess it's not the same hustle we were looking at.
Oh, well.
Almost Myself, Laughing Matters More, Girl Shorts, and it ends... Oh, it's only a... It ends on the 24th, so it's a three-day event.
And I will be out of town those 3 days.
The final performance is Queens, Reñas.
Hmm.
It's Spanish with English subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the dawning of a new century in ways gays and lesbians are allowed to legally marry, but no matter how much times change, moms will always remain the same. Five of Spain's most celebrated actresses, including portray five headstrong women, mothers who converge in the amusement of their offspring days before Spain's historic officiating same-sex marriages, offering advice on everything from what to wear to whom they should marry.
Ooh.
And then as are the sons themselves, each experiencing the jitters of the nuptial approaching. In the space of one weekend, the collective group of drama queens creates a wild and rollicking mayhem that threatens to turn traditional I do's into flat out hell no's. As much a tribute to the sanctity of marriage as it is to motherhood. Queens is a refreshingly vibrant screwball comedy, romantic comedy that reminds and inspires one to never stop believing in the sanctity of love. So if you want to find out some more information,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what Dave is trying to do.
He's answering the phone.
Well, are you trying to hang up on him? Oh, whatever. if you want to find more information, you need to go to www.hglff.org. That stands for Houston Gay Lesbian Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the way up there. And like I said, all of the performances are at the Angelica Film Center at 501 Texas Avenue.
Wow.
So, it's a little smaller than than usual, but like I said, there's some interesting movies, and like I said, apparently we're a sponsor.
Well, who knew?
Yeah.
They didn't let us know.
Yeah, I mean, there's our logo next to the wrong logo for Continental Airlines.
Well, it would be, you know, you could rent a room at the Holiday Inn, or
they'd probably want us to
at
do
the Hyatt or something. No, they would, weekend.
No, they'd probably want the Magnolia Hotel because that's another sponsor.
Oh, okay. I don't think I can afford the Magnolia Hotel.
How scary do I want to look?
It gives new meaning to steal magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
Specials and packages.
Oh, show me your package.
What? What? Showing wares? What?
I told you.
Well, come out wherever you are.
That's how they can afford to.
Holy
Shiite.
Don't choke on Chris. No. What did I tell you about playing with the pink worm?
I wouldn't have spent that much there for the 3 nights I spent in the medical center.
Holy. Yeah, I told you. Take the Hyatt Regency. It's a little longer walk, but it's worth it.
I think you've probably the other place you can afford to take a limo and still be ahead of the. I mean, yeah, this package does include a dozen long stem roses and room service breakfast.
Oh.
But God.
It's high, huh? Is it as much as your rent?
That's a little over a week's worth of rent at my place.
Ooh.
Per night.
Ooh. My.
Well.
Okay.
I don't know why we didn't look at that one for our event. Sorry, I need to be resuscitated here. Yeah, there better be something, you know, they said there's champagne and strawberries on your pillow, but there better be someone serving them to you.
Ooh. Hey, well. Okay.
Oh. Let's see. Anyone else have something to talk here while I'm reading through the world's greatest news gathering source?
You must be going through the Daily Rotten.
Moose Rampage.
Mm.
Oh, here's good news. Necrophilia is not a crime in Wisconsin.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Another cool mom busted.
I guess if you're with Wisconsin, it's hard to tell the difference.
Did she move?
It's so cold.
Cheese whiz.
I'm trying to think. Oh, here's a cute story.
Oh, boy. Here we go, gang.
No more pink
ones. Hold on, I gotta roll up my sleeves on this one.
Yeah.
Greenpeace.
Uh-huh.
A organization well-known on this radio station.
Yes.
Has issued a warning about toxic sex toys.
What?
Greenpeace Netherlands has issued a statement warning sex toy lovers not to shove the spectral gel anal plug or the crystal jelly double dong where the sun don't shine.
Why is that?
According to an eye-watering report on Expectica. The reason behind the shock advisory is not the possible risk of ending up in a hospital with a dildo stuck firmly up your jacksie and having to endure the humiliating laughter of medical staff who avail themselves the opportunity by grabbing a few x-rays for later dissemination on the internet. But rather the sex toys apparently contain, quote, extremely high concentrations of, can I buy a vowel, Vanna? Piphylac plasticers, which allegedly pose a risk to human health and the environment. The reason why I was going there is this first word is PHTHALATES, are oil-derived plasticers commonly used to soften PVC. Research Center TNO examines 8 sex toys at Greenpeace's behest, including dildos, vibrators, and butt plugs.
My, that must have been fun.
It discovered that 7 of the items contained high levels of such and such, including DEHP. which was last year permanently banned from kids' toys in the European Union because of possible health risks to young children. These aren't toys for kids. Not toys for tots. It's
toys for twats.
Okay. Greenpeace Bot von Opzeeland, head of the organization's campaign against the toxic material, said, "I cannot remember over the last 5 years such high concentrations being found in research." The statement added, "Remember, these chemicals, which do not easily biodegrade and can be dangerous even in small amounts." The following recent adoption, for the record, rodents exposed to high levels of this chemical have reportedly suffered damage to the liver, kidneys, lungs, and developing testes. Once again, these aren't toys for rats. These are toys for your cat. Whatever that term is, say that the test levels were much higher than would occur in the result of everyday exposure to PVC. The Green Lobby says even with low levels, they pose a health risk. And so it goes around and around. We leave it to you to decide. The undoubted delights of the PVC cyber pussy are outweighed by the potential risks.
Meow.
So...
well,
they're not out saving a
be
whale.
Be careful while you're shopping for your toys, ladies and gentlemen. And as we were discussing a little bit on the back porch, that some straight men can get confused about their sexual orientation because they enjoy anal play.
Yeah.
And they're too embarrassed to ask their wives or their girlfriends to shove a dildo up their butts.
Oh, yeah, because it's that whole penetrator thing of that part. And you have to realize there's a lot of nerve endings down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where you get to the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Family Guy episode from last week where I'm not sure if it was from last week or that, but he went in for a prostate exam and didn't realize that that's where it was going. And so he accused the doctor of trying to molest him.
Because it felt so good, huh?
He's like, what are you doing?
What did Stewie have to say?
He's a little young for the test, but...
Eddie needs a new device.
There was that one story in here. They had a guy who went to, I guess it was the Philippines, and had paid for one of those younger services.
Yes.
Yeah. And died during it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Before the happy ending. It was a 16-year-old girl and her 16-year-old pimp.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, they kind of start a little younger there.
Evidently.
And so it was a little interesting story of, you know, I think partially that's legal there but not legal here on that. If they can, well, it says he's dead, they can't charge him with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't seem to be much. There wasn't much this week there of in the.
And we didn't get any MBB letters.
Didn't get any MBB letters.
Oh.
Let's see if there's anything in this week of history of. There's usually something during the week of involves our community. Nixon. Jeb Bush being arrested last year.
Well,
come on, there's got to be some... Oh, there we go.
We've just started... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, just the death of Otis Toole.
Who?
One of the cohorts of Henry Lee Lucas.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not the only thing, apparently.
Mm.
This slow week, you know. Had the crazy guy up in Canada. Then, of course, you had that cutie... one of the best, the only good thing that Anna Nicole ever produced, her son.
And he died.
Mm. You know what I'm thinking it is?
Mysterious circumstances.
I'm putting forth this philosophy.
Okay.
To Stingray. They're pissed. They're
stop.
They're pissed. They were called a poodle. You know, said, you know, being killed by a stingray, you know, be like getting killed by a poodle. You know, I think one smuggled on board just, you know, zapped him. And they're over in Australia. They found about a dozen dead stingrays.
Yes.
Where people have gone out and, you know, avenged the death of... Crikey. See, I've always made the comment that I'm evil, but...
I've never disputed that.
But to show my good, decent side, you know, several years ago, my brother bought me a Steve Irwin little talking doll.
You're kidding me.
No. And I haven't brought it into the show. It was the year.
I'm certainly amazed at that.
One year my brother decided it was time for basically gag gifts from the Katie Mills Mall.
Uh-huh.
So I got one of those rainbow luggage belts.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, the bad part was at that time it fit me really nice. It was a snug belt. Combine that with, you know, this... a Steve Irwin talking doll, and I think I got a glue stick, and, you know, basically it was like, you know, 99-cent store meets the dollar, meets that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's not much in here, unfortunately.
Do you know that we have just started Spanish, Hispanic History Month?
Oh yeah, you didn't give me the.
It runs from the 15th of September through the 15th of October.
Well, that's because you didn't give me the little story to read there about Fajita Heave.
Oh yes, Fajita Heaven.
I can't help you.
Tortilla Heaven.
I don't know. It's something Heave.
Because my computer didn't print the whole thing. So
there's got to be something in it. You need some news stories on here. Let's.
Good, Chris. You're using your powers for good.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, some people say, you know, I use my powers for really good.
I'm not.
As Jimmy kind of raises this.
I can raise my eyebrows. They can't see that on the radio.
Oh, Spain's first military gay wedding.
No.
Ooh.
You know, they allow gay marriage in Spain, because, you know, talking about that movie, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Two privates in the Air Force both wore dress blue uniforms. Unfortunately, they don't have any picture of the boys. Alberto Linero, 27, and Alberto Sanchez, 24. They wore their dress blue uniforms with red and gold epaulets, and exchanged vows at the Seville Town Hall.
Wow.
So someone wants to be on the air?
No.
Just need to cancel it. There we go. And the military is not saying anything against it. Some members of the military may not be happy about the union, but the grooms would not say if they're suffering any harassment. The Defense Ministry considers the wedding a personal matter, and the men will be allowed to continue with their careers on that. And, you know, considering that's a highly Roman Catholic country, but then again, you know, the Pope's having his own little bit of problems right now. He's kind of pissed off the Muslims.
Ooh.
Which is not a good thing to do. Entertainment. So bad. This thing, you know, it's a slow week. We didn't have any. You know, don't have a lot of people come in. And then I can't find anything on a gay slasher film.
Yes.
It's coming to DVD. Hellbent.
Yes. Hmm.
We've had gay horror films before, but Hellbent has the distinction of being the first queer slasher film. And Halloween won't just be the same.
Ooh.
Nice picture. Yeah, the sad part is, you know, the movie I want to go see, Covenant, there. I'm going to movies with my niece, so apparently I'm not going to be able to watch that movie. I'm going to have to watch a G-rated film. A little bit of sadness on that part for me. There's got to be some... It's a slow week for gays, you know? I don't understand what's going on. We need to do something. Oh, yeah. They're talking about The Rock on 365gay.com with his new film. Oh, of course. Why don't you grab some music? We'll pick up something here just to figure out at the end here. But, I'm stuck. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. Someone else talk. You. What?
Me?
Yeah. I'm lost. I can't help it. I don't know. I mean, I've already looked at Fred Phelps.
Well, getting back for a moment to Ann Richards, I had the honor of meeting her when she was here in Houston, and she was across from our complex where where me and Jimmy used to live, and she was watching the filming of a movie called Rush, and I spoke to her. Mm. Very, very nice.
Yeah, it's, like I say, it was... So if you want to hear the full story of how she put it on that, if you go to democracynow.org, I'll bet you you'll look for Thursday. This shit is live archived. Oh, goody. Let's give me a little something here, too. Oh.
One of my favorite artists. One of my favorite artists. He is long gone from us, but...
There's no way in hell I can play this one song with all the talk we've been doing about Ann Richards. I refuse to play Ding Dong, which is...
No, don't play that.
There's only two songs I really like on here. I look down and I go, you know, there's no way in hell I'm going to play...
No.
Usually I like five as well.
Okay, go ahead.
I just like it because I also like the film First Wives Club. Okay. And they sing that song in there. So we're going to do a little Klaus Nomi, and, you know, that'll be it, because I think then we'll get our music, get our things on that. So
okay.
Why don't we do a little wrap up and all that? I want to thank you for listening to After Hours. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can send us a snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard. That's LOVETT.
Love TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006. It's not just a zip code.
It's a life.
We'll be back next week, and we'll have Christopher here with a Black on Black segment.
Mm-hmm. And possibly a poetry segment.
Oh. Depends. Mm-hmm. So, this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and we will be back next week. We hope you can join us. Klaus Nomi, you don't own me. See you then.
Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me.
Stay tuned for an important message from your KPFT elections team. Welcome to the 2006 KPFT Local Station Board Elections. This fall, 9 listener members and 3 staff members will be elected to 3-year terms on the board that governs our station. There has never been a more important time to support Radio for Peace. Please visit kpft.org and click on Elections for more information about the nomination process. Nominations are open until September the 25th. Come on, it's not too late. It's just right now.
Millions of people depend on access to the internet for independent news, information, and entertainment. But that access is threatened by a dangerous piece of legislation under consideration by the U.S. Senate. As usual, it has been given a deceptive name, the Communications Opportunity Promotion and Enhancement Act, or COPE. The Pacifica Foundation National Board is deeply concerned and considered this a development of a serious threat to both community, media, and what is known as net neutrality. Learn more about the issue by visiting websites like SaveTheInternet.com. Don't let the cable companies and telecom giants put up a toll booth on the internet. Pacifica pledges to closely track the issue and keep its listeners informed through news coverage and special programming. The foundation will also work with its 100 affiliate stations across the country, reach out to grassroots coalitions, develop press and information kits, and support effects to take the issue to communities and the Capitol. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.